they're not really secrets because he's yelling from a mountain. He really actually wants everybody to know what's going to make them happy, right? So, interestingly enough, Rick also pointed on that they're not intuitive, in my opinion. Maybe if you really sat and thought about what really makes me happy, or you really sat and started considering all the people you know and who's really happy, you might actually come up with some of these things on your own, right? But in general, it's shocking. It seems a little bit upside down. And Ken was talking about happy, you can be happy if you're sad. That's confusing. So if you're sad, if I'm sad, I can find happiness better. Or how about if I'm meek, I can give somebody else the credit. Or how about I can be the last person in line? How about that? So I'm the last person in line. That makes sense to be the last person in line all the time. Like what? So anyway, so we have all these things. It's a little shocking. But Rick had kind of asked me to go over all of them with you today, and I thought it'd be fun if we read them together. So why don't we read these eight Beatitudes together? So happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Happy are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Super interesting words, and I'm really excited to talk about Lent. But before we get started on that, Rick has been, I think he was initially inspired, this series was inspired by this really wonderful pastor, Andy Stanley, and he kind of did some series about the Beatitudes as well, and he quotes, "Happiness is not immediately accessible. Happiness is like the work of a farmer. It follows the law of the harvest. You sow and reap your way to happiness." And so it's important as we are going along these next few weeks and we think about these things that it's not overnight instant gratification, that type of a thing. We have to be realizing that it's like planting seeds that will grow. That will eventually grow, but to kind of just have that mindset that planting and then eventually the growth will come, the happiness will come, it will be there. So here we go. The one I chose this one. I relate to it. You'll see why. All right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, why did I choose it? Food. Get it? I like food. You guys should know me. I love food. No. So, the first thing we need to talk about here, right, is hungering and thirsting then. We got to get our minds wrapped around what it means to hunger and thirst, okay? So, have you ever been really, really hungry and thirsty? Really hungry and thirsty? Yes, we all understand that because we all have this need to eat and drink, right? So, story, I was taking my two girls to the mall, Eva and Lily, and we were going pretty quickly, but I thought, oh, I'll be a good mom and I'll pack a thermos of water just in case. No snacks this time because they're getting older, but I probably should have done that too. But anyway, I'll pack a thermos and I'll bring it with us just in case we get thirsty. And so I get there and then I realize it's really heavy and we're not going to be there very long. So I just decide to leave it in the car. And And we go, and we're shopping, and of course shopping takes too long, and we're keep shopping, and then finally Evie's like, I'm hungry. So I take her to Wetzel's Pretzels, or wherever that pretzel place in the mall is, and we get some pretzels, and so we're eating the pretzels, and then, of course, what happens? I'm thirsty, Mom. And we're like way on one end of the mall. And our car's parked way on the other end of the mall. And so, initially, I'm thirsty. Do you have any water? No, just keep walking. It's okay. We're headed back to the car, and I've got some in the car. And so then, can you read a little bit here? And then, Mom, I'm really thirsty. I'm really, really thirsty. And we're walking, and I'm so thirsty. I mean, it's just like by the step, she's getting thirstier, and she's just can't stand it, and I'm like, you know what, I'm too cheap, I'm not going to buy you any water, and we're going to the car, and that's just how it's going to be. And by the end, I mean, she was acting like she was going to die. I mean, it was like maybe 5-10 minutes at the most, she had to wait for water. But hungry, thirsting, needing to be filled, needing food, needing water. Look at this little baby. Oh, I'm it's coming, y'all. And that sense of, I need it. Or, you've been thirsty, been out playing in the hot summer, whatever, and you just want to drip from the hose. Who's done that? Me. I've done that a lot. Living still to tell about it, though. So there's this idea of almost craving or longing for. And we all know it. We all understand it. It's really a great use of words that Jesus uses, that whole hunger and thirst. And so I just want to suggest to you, and Jesus does in this passage, that we hunger and thirst for other things than food and water, obviously. And I hope, starting right now, that you can just kind of think for a second, what do you hunger and thirst for? And I can imagine it's a big variety of things. Maybe it's just peace and quiet. I don't know. Or maybe it's a nap or a good night's sleep. That's a mom version there. But maybe you hunger and thirst for, I don't know, more money. Or you want to look better. Maybe you really hunger and thirst to be healthy. I'm not saying that these are bad things, but think about that craving. Okay, one step further, I'll give you an example. Have you ever read a really good book? Okay, when you're in the middle of it, like, you crave it. Like, I do at least. And when I'm in it, like, I stay up too late. I get up early. It's like, I don't have time to read. I don't have time to, like, do all these other things. But then when I'm in the middle of a good book, I'm like, I want to feed myself on the book. I'm hungering and thirsting to read. And so are you feeling it? Are you feeling it with me? Okay, hunger, thirst. All right. So what does the passage say? I'm not going to put it back up here. We're to hunger and thirst for what?
Righteousness.
All right. Righteousness. So now we need to know what's righteousness. And I hope I can define it for you well, because we need to know what, if we want to be happy and we want to be filled, we need to understand what righteousness is. And I've been asking around a little bit, and when I ask, hey, what do you think righteousness is, Zoe? What do you think righteousness is, Krista?
Yeah.
Okay. So is it caring for the needy, giving to the poor, volunteering, forgiving, practicing kindness, all these good things that you do? Is that righteousness? And so I want to take a little bit closer look at what the Bible talks about when it talks about righteousness, and it's actually talking about upside down or a little bit different view than you might expect. It is not these things. So let's look at a verse here. Paul writes in Romans, For in the gospel of righteousness of God, oh wait, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. What is this passage talking about? It's talking about this righteousness that's revealed by God in Scripture, but it's related to faith somehow. And it's interesting, he goes back to the Old Testament from the first to the last. He's talking that it's been throughout the whole Bible, throughout the whole history, throughout everything. God, as he's revealed himself, has revealed a righteousness that's related to faith. And he even quotes Habakkuk. He quotes something written a long time ago. He says, the righteous will live by faith. It's related to faith. So it's interesting, if this makes a little bit of a ding, 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 ding from your Old Testament, do you remember how even way back in Abraham's day, there's a little verse that talks about how his faith was credited to him as righteousness? Okay, let me say that easier, because I hear that, and I hear the righteous live by faith, and righteousness is living by faith. What does that mean? What is it? It's just being close to God. Abraham was close to God. He was a buddy. He was buddies with God. It was his friend. He lived by faith. He believed God. He communed with God. He was close with God. He had a relationship with God. Okay, I want you to see here what Paul does. Again, this is a really important verse when we want to talk about this. He talks about how we initially do, we want to celebrate all these wonderful things that we do, and that's our righteousness. We do all these great things, and Paul, before he goes in here, he talks about all these great things he's done with his life. He's done all these magnificent things, but he says, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Once again, there's that relationship there again. And it's funny, Paul, he's just such a funny character because he wants to make a point here. Oh, all that stuff was dog dung. It didn't matter. Because he wants to show what really matters. What matters? His relationship with Christ. His relationship with Christ. That's what righteousness is. Super interesting. It's all throughout the whole Bible, and it's all over Paul's writings in the New Testament. It's everywhere. And it's super interesting. Righteousness is your relationship with God. So when Jesus says, I want you to hunger, I want you to daydream about, I want you to crave hunger and thirst, what is it for? For righteousness, for a relationship with God. That's what I want you to do. Interesting enough, little caveat here. I believe this is true with all my heart and soul, but I want you to see something, that when this is going on, when you have righteousness, you are seeking this close relationship with God, do you see how it's very natural for all the good things to come into your life? But I want to make it clear that the actual thing that's happening is what you're going for, what you're hungering and thirsting for, isn't all those things. That's a natural byproduct of this closeness with God that you should be going for. Okay? All right. So, we need to whet our appetite. And, of course, whose dog is that? Yeah, Rick and I didn't know what Pavlov's dog was at. So there he is. What kind of dog is that? Anybody know? I don't know. Dogs being trained, ring the bell. Does everybody know Pavlov? They were trained, you know, because of the... Okay. So whetting our appetite for righteousness. We need to learn how to do that if we want to be happy. If we want that end result of being filled, of being full. I know that you guys know what I'm talking about, because so much of life can be so difficult and can be so empty. And we're all, I think we crave it deep in our souls, sure. But how do we whet this appetite? If we're looking for righteousness, we're looking for this relationship with God, how do we whet our appetites? So that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. I'm going to try and help, if I can, in my meager little way, and I've gone through this my own process too, to maybe give you some ideas to whet your appetite for growing closer to God so that you can be filled. So, first and foremost, time to get serious. We gotta dissect our diets. We gotta look at what we're bringing into our life. And so, so I wanna give you a little bit of a homework assignment here. Oh, let me read this little verse here. I thought it was great. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Careful, careful thought. I think I'm so guilty. I do a lot of doing and not sometimes a lot of reflecting. And I think that's a reflection of the fact that I'm a mom and I have a lot of things going on all at the same time. But there needs to be time for reflection, and we all know that. And so so I want to give you a little assignment here, because why do we need to dissect our diet? Well, think about, actually, let's say you go on a diet. What's the first thing you usually do when you're thinking about changing your diet? Don't you usually write down what you're already eating? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to know what you're feeding yourself so you can make the proper changes. Or like you go to a nutritionist, they want to know what you're eating. You need to know what you're eating. You need to take inventory of what you're eating. So I'm trying, I want help maybe for you to take inventory. So I think that a good way, and you can add to this if you need to, but I think a good way to take inventory is taking inventory of your time, how you spend your time, and taking inventory of how you spend your time thinking, what you're thinking about as well. So bringing those two things together, and it is a super fun exercise. It didn't take me more than 5 minutes. This is your homework, kids. I know the kids are here for me. Thank you for being here, you guys. But I want you to sit down this week. I really do. And I want you to just write down anything and everything that you do. And so this is, I'll go through. Sleep, eat, pray, read the Bible, write my journal. I'll get all my those things first, right? Exercise, I shower, I groom, I read books, I do my chores, I cook, I clean, I do laundry, I do yard work. I have time with my family, time with my friends, I watch TV, I watch movies, I practice music, kind of, sort of. Music lessons, so on, so on, so on, so on. I want you to write anything and everything. I'm sure I left out a few things. And then I want you to also take inventory of what you're thinking about. What's consuming your thoughts. So, of course, I think about the yard, what needs to be done. I know that seems strange to you guys, but whatever. I think about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to cook. That's a big thing. I think about my body. I don't know. I'm just being honest here. I think about when I'm going to work out. I think about my kids, family issues I've had. I think about a lot of things. Sit down. Write it out. Look at it. You might be surprised. I was super surprised at the kinds of things I did. It was really interesting for me to go through this process. So that's the first thing. Dissect your diet. Write it down. Look at it. See what you're feeding yourself, okay? All right. Next. It's time to ditch the junk. It's time to ditch the junk. All right, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Just having a little fun, Jesus' words here. Part of the same sermon, right? Maybe not. No, different sermon. But anyway, the idea is it's time to take a look at what is this helpful, what you're bringing into your diet, okay? Are you feasting on third and second helpings of the internet every day? Yum, yum, yes. Or are you enjoying a big fatty movie every single day, maybe two or three even sometimes? I mean, take a hard look. Take a hard look. It's not easy to cut out junk food. I wanna suggest to you also, for me, long time ago, I decided to go cold turkey with French fries. I felt like I needed to do something. It was getting a little out of control. And so one day I just told myself, no more French fries, cold turkey, no more. And it was actually not hard for me. For whatever reason, that was easy. And so some things on your list, I want you to take a look at your list and you circle all that junk food. And some things on your list are going to be easy to dispose of. You're going to look at them and be like, why do I do that? Or why am I spending time and energy thinking about that? And so I want you to look at that. Some things you can just cross right off. Other things, maybe you need to tone down, right? You're not ready. I've tried to give up sugar like 13,000 times. And it's like, it's just, there's sugar in everything. It's too hard for me. I'm not ready. And that's okay. That's okay. But let's try and reduce the junk. Because let me just make a suggestion to you. When you eat junk food, does it replace the healthy food sometimes? I know Evie, she would eat junk food seriously from the moment she woke up to the moment she went to bed and have no problem with it whatsoever. But it's going to take its toll, right? I mean, junk doesn't satisfy you. Junk is not where it's at. God is saying, I'm saying, but I believe the truth here is that you need healthy food. You need healthy food. And so in order to whet your appetite for righteousness, you need to start adding things in. So this is the next idea. Dine on something different. I love to go out to dinner. I know you guys love to go out. Who likes to go out for a good meal? Okay, so why do you like to go out for a good meal besides the fact that you don't have to make it? And you don't have to clean it. Yeah, no cleanup and no make it. But why do you enjoy a good meal?
Something different at home.
Something different. What? Yeah, something you... Yes, it's something different. It's something you wouldn't cook at home necessarily. It's, look at this, taste and see that the Lord is good. You need to try something for you to know if you like it, right? Think about it. You need to try something new. Some unicorn meat might be yummy. I don't know, maybe. I like that slide. That was funny. But we need to try some new things. Life, just in general, we all must know this. We can't continually always do the same things. Life is a process. We are constantly growing. And part of whetting our appetite for righteousness and really wanting to even, I mean, some of us are in different places, right? Some of us have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and our appetites are already wet, right? You know He's good. And you know you want more. And pretty soon, that hunger and thirst starts coming. And pretty soon, I can't go without a quiet time sometimes because I know I need it and I want it. But some of you, maybe not, and that's okay. It's okay. Where are you going is the question, right? Whetting your appetite, though, I'm trying to help to say, try some new things. Try some new things, something that's going to whet your appetite for having a closeness and relationship to God. So what are some ideas? I put up some ideas from my own life. Obvious, So many of them obvious, but helpful, I still say. Spending time in prayer. And so back to your list. Be creative here, but I really think that you can start looking at replacing and modifying some of your things so that they can include some of these things. Prayer doesn't have to be sitting in a corner of your room on your knees. Prayer can be while you're on the treadmill. Start thinking creatively, right? Adding some of these things, but spending time in prayer, you're connecting, and it whets your appetite as you start to see God's taking care of you and God's answering your prayers. What makes you pray more? Do you see how that's whetting your appetite? All right, prayer. You can pray with a friend. You can pray in a group, corporately. You can pray also. So anyway, I don't need to go any more on prayer. What else do we have? Read, study your Bible. You can read your Bible by yourself. You can be all nerdy like me and read commentaries and have like different versions and stuff like that. Or no, like Rick, I should say. I'm not nerdy. But you can read with friends. You could come up with ideas. Like start a little thing where you read something with your friends. Read with your children. Read the Bible with your children. These are things that will whet your appetite. The Bible is just so exciting when you start to read it. It starts to whet your appetite just by looking at the words. They start jumping off the page at you if you do it enough. Super exciting. So read your Bible. Spending time sharing with other believers. This is a great one. Coffee, one-on-one. Sharing your life, sharing your experiences, talking about what God is doing, your questions, what you're learning. All sorts of things. You can go places. You can come to church. You can be in a small group. You can be in a large group. I don't know. There are just so many ways to connect with other believers and have that safety net where you can talk openly about what God is doing and learn from other believers. It's super cool. Small groups can be one of the most dynamic, amazing ways to whet your appetite because you're listening to everybody else's story, everybody else's struggle, and all of a sudden it just like, you're just like, this is awesome. I mean, it just gets you going. Go on a spiritual retreat. Thought of that one before? That one's a fun one. Serve, some ideas, visit shut-ins. You can add all this. Shut-ins, feed, house the homeless. We're going to do that in a few weeks. Think about showing up. Help the poor. Visit people in prison. Serve in your church. Give financially to service organizations. Help at service organizations. Go on mission trips. Lead a prayer group. Start a ministry of helping others in some way. There's just so many ways you can serve. And serving, we all know, you get going. And it draws you closer. It whets your appetite once again. To be close to God, you're close to his heart, and I think you start to feel that, because, anyway, I can go on and on. And then the last one I just wanted to hit on really quick, because it's a big one for me, fast, and I just wanted to throw it out there. I know everybody's at a different place with their relationship with God, and but fasting's an interesting one, because I think that fasting immediately takes away some of your distractions, and it helps you to focus more on God. For me, I know if I look at my list, which is so interesting, probably 50% of my list, maybe more, is about food or diet and exercise of some sorts on there, or making food, eating food, worrying about my body, or any, all of that. Like, at least 50% of my time is based on that. And fasting pulls me outside of that. And I can focus on God. When I'm hungry, I can pray. I'm not worried about cooking for myself. I'm not even spending the time feeding myself, actually, when I fast, right? Sometimes I have to cook for my kids, which is hard. But in general, fasting is such a great way. And you can be fasting, we can talk about fasting some more, but you can fast in all sorts of myriad of ways. But anyway, just ideas to whet your appetite. Really quick, I just want to suggest, am I running out of time? something that I added to my intake when I was in college was journaling. And my sister went to a retreat, and there was a class at a retreat, this retreat, about journaling, actually. And it was like you had to go out and buy a journal, and then you came back, and then they kind of taught you how to start a prayer journal and stuff. And so my sister was sharing this with me or whatever. And I have always been a terrible writer. I mean, what do I mean by that? I mean, not a terrible writer, but like I have writer's block. Like every time I wanted to write, I wanted to sound really poetic or something. I would try and journal and I'd be like, ugh. And I just never could really pour my heart out. But I decided to try journaling when I was in college, and I stuck with it. And I cannot even tell you, I bring my journal everywhere. That has become for me the single most, talk about whetting my appetite. There are times I open up my journal and I just cry. I was like, it's like God's right there, we're together, and it's like, I mean, I've had years, well, I'm talking more than 25 years of journaling, but connecting and him becoming my friend. And that is a way, that is seeking righteousness. That is seeking righteousness. And so I hope that you are encouraged. I hope that you see what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because when you do, when you seek to be close to God, He will fill you. He will fill you. And it's not, it's healthy. It's what you want. It's not the junk in the world that's not going to satisfy you. You want the job, you want the wealth, you want the beauty, you want all these things, and we look around, we know, just by looking at Hollywood, that it doesn't satisfy. And yet we're just like, but maybe if I just have a little bit more of that. No, closeness with God, that's what you need to hunger and thirst for. Does it mean you can't hunger and thirst for anything else? No, of course not. I'm still going to want to read my book. But what am I hungering the most for? What am I thinking about when I wake up and want to start my day? Who am I excited about? Reminds me about kind of like that whole falling in love type of thing. You know, it's like getting excited, getting closer. And I just want to finish with this little Smith Wigglesworth. He's like one of Rick's friends. They like hang out and have coffee. No, I'm joking. Quote from Smith Wigglesworth. He's been dead for a while. To hunger and thirst after righteousness, this is his definition. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is when nothing in the world can satisfy us so much as being near to God. Nothing else. That's what you're after. If you're after it, you're going to find it. You will be filled. There's one verse I couldn't stop. That should be what I'm ending with, but I just couldn't stop. I just love this verse. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you guys.
Lord, it's a privilege to just be here and be with all these people I love so much, and to talk about your word, Lord, and to even dare to think that we can be happy beyond our wildest dreams and be truly filled. It's hard to imagine, Lord, but I've seen it and I've tasted it on so many levels, and I just pray, Lord, that everyone here today will take inventory, and they'll look at what they're feeding themselves, and that they'll be honest, that they'll judge themselves, not me, but they'll judge their own junk, and they'll make some big decisions on what they want to intake into their lives. And Lord, at the end of the day, I pray that they will never stop trying new things, new ways to connect with you, that they'll seek after you with all their heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. They will. Let us be full, Lord. Help us, teach us, show us the way. We love you, Jesus.
I was just going to, you were missing a few things on the what do you think about. I'm not on there, so I was going to add that. Yay! I think we need to hear from Denise more often around here. Like we do every Sunday, we invite you in your own timing this next set of worship to come and see, like Denise was saying, taste and see the Lord is good. Whet your appetite. Come to his table and feast and let him fill you up. And so, but why don't we stand and worship together? Our prayer team will be in the back of the room. We'd love to pray with you.
Oh,
be filled up. May you hunger and thirst for something that will truly fill you up. Someone. May you see that your righteousness is in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, who desires to be closer to you than you can ever imagine. And may you be completely nourished every day and feel the joy and fulfillment in that relationship. Amen.
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 Okay, so, Big Ed.
I was thinking here all the time, the day we got Denise, she was adopted. She was 6 weeks old. And he picked her up in Richmond, and she had a white dress. And we had to borrow our neighbor's car because our car was broken down. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, what a blessing she and our daughters have had. What a blessing tonight. Thank you. Well,
thank you. Absolutely, what a blessing she is to all of us in so many ways. However, she's the rugged adventurer in the family, okay? I'm kind of the sensitive one. I worry a little bit. She was having a little fun later in that talk. She just keeps throwing stuff out to get your attention. So kids, teens or adults, he's not, when he says cut off your hand, it was an old thing the old rabbis used to do. It's called rabbinic hyperbole. It's like this exaggeration. He didn't mean cut off your hand because of you. Okay, it was a metaphor trying to get your attention. Take it seriously if it's leading you down the wrong path. Otherwise, Google Pavlov's dog. It's an interesting thing. You'll get in Psych 101.
Yep.
So, all right, hang out, have some refreshments, and get to know each other a little bit. Right now, it's okay to be hungry and thirsty for brownies and lunch.
So. I just think about it.